Many of those who participated in the president's first economic forum 19 months ago won't be attending tomorrow's event in Waco, NPR's Peter Overby reports.
President Bush held his first economic forum before he had even taken his oath of office. His staff arranged the forum so that the first CEO president would be surrounded with other CEOs, the top men from the old economy, General Motors, General Electric, and the leaders of the new, Intel, Cisco, Dell Computer. Prominent among those from the energy sector was Ken Lay from Enron. Most of these corporate chieftains had something in common. Except for a token representative from the Consumer Federation of America, almost everyone on the guest list had put corporate or personal funds into the Bush campaign effort. All told, they'd given Republicans about $1.6 million for the 2000 campaign. Ari Fleischer, speaking then for the president-elect, said that was a coincidence, that no one had considered those donations in drawing up the invitations.
The attendees are drawn on the basis of their expertise, their knowledge about their particular communities or industries, and about the ideas they hold. Whether they're contributors or not contributors has no bearing at all.
Maybe not, but it certainly didn't discourage anyone from giving more. In the 19 months since that first forum, the CEOs and the companies they run have given the GOP twice as much as they did during the campaign, more than $3 million. Political scientist David Schultz teaches at the Graduate School of Public Administration at Hamline University in Minnesota. He says that Republicans and Democrats both spent 20 years courting corporate America, so much so that by the time of the economic forum, two questions were hanging over Washington like dark clouds.
And those two basic questions were, first, does corporate America have too much political power? And then second question, do the president, Congress, and government officials in general have enough moral distance or detachment from corporate America to make fair and impartial decisions?
Those questions have risen in importance, even as the fortunes of Mr. Bush's confidants have fallen, along with the CEO culture they personified. The details of Enron's collapse and its ties to the administration are well known. As for some of the others, Credit Suisse First Boston had ties to Enron. Now it's defending itself against allegations that it misled investors. It also paid $100 million this year to settle charges that it extracted kickbacks from hedge funds buying into initial stock offerings. Eastman Kodak spent 2001 fighting to survive. It laid off 7,500 workers. Soon after the forum, Abbott Laboratories was named in a federal probe of industry-wide overcharging. The company has also paid $875 million to settle charges that stem from a marketing joint venture. And last month, Merck & Company restated billions of dollars in revenues from its prescription benefits management division. Merck had to delay plans to spin off the subsidiary. So Schultz, the political scientist who posed the twin questions about corporate influence and Washington's impartiality, says voters are drawing their own conclusions. Conclusions that hardly seemed possible when the president-elect and the CEOs sat down together.
Clearly what happened back in 2001 was the high watermark, and we're now probably seeing the cycles turn.
And even if the economy rebounds, it probably will be a long time before another president holds such a friendly get-together with America's corporate elite. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.